Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Skies were bright, our heads were light in the merry, merry month of May.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. In the merry month of May, we are launching into the season of color and new life and freshness and the season of First Holy Communions and confirmation and graduation and mothers. So it's always a filled to the brim season. I think where visibly we see growth, and in our own families, the growth is evident in the milestones. I was just thinking, when my oldest graduates from high school, my youngest is going to be making his first communion and crying even thinking about it. But it's one of those things that for all of us, we go back to those graduation moments, confirmation, first communion, the suit, the springtime, the flowers, and the graces that hopefully rub off on us too. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in this show, and moms, of course, too. Oh, and a really big giveaway. So I want to get to that right away, but we're going to do it in honor of Mother's Day. However, anyone can do this. You don't have to be a mom to win this prize. It's going to be open to all, but it's definitely one of the coolest prizes we've had, I think, up to date on Good Things Radio. And what is a Mary Garden? Have you heard of that? Why do you need to plant one? I've got some history behind that. Tell you about ours, a brand new one that we just planted for the first time that's coming up in a Brooke's house. We're also going to announce the winner of the journal, the prize from our last show, a fantastic giveaway. Anna Brooke's going to make you cry. So it is a big one with some tissues and a hanky, I guess, for the guys. Do guys still carry hankies? Jim does.
Okay.
Also, Mom is here, your lovely
Hello.
Voice.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We're going to begin in prayer, and then we're going to get into a couple topics about Bible study, which ties into our giveaway.
Great.
So let's begin in prayer. Before we do, just to set the table, prayer is not about emptying the mind. It is about engaging our mind and spirit. Put simply, what the Catechism says is we stop in the midst of whatever we're doing. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? So with that in mind, let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Abba, Daddy, we belong to you. You command us to love, to care for the needs of others, to lay down our lives for those in need. God, we see this so naturally in the description of a mother. We lift up all women today, Heavenly Father, that they feel supported for those who long to be mothers and for those who miss their mom. The church, in so many ways, is mother to us. Lord, you teach us through your church how to respond to those in need. We ask a special blessing upon all mothers today, also for those preparing to receive special sacraments and blessings. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and we are all in your hands. Help us to surrender and to celebrate, Lord, and to walk in peace with that truth. Amen. Okay, Mom, I cannot believe you've done this again. We have a book right in front of you. We're going to launch into our Bible study topic and our giveaway. And the book is a springtime cornucopia of pink and green and yellow. And you have a matching sweater that totally, you look like camouflage holding that book because you're totally matching. How did you do that?
Not by any design.
I need to take a picture and post that, because whatever it is, whatever season you're here, you just match. You just fit, like you are a visible sign. You really are the church. You're a visible sign of what we're feeling. So I want to talk about this Bible study for those that aren't here seeing, just me and you here. It's called Opening Your Heart. It's the starting point. And the whole purpose of this is really to bring to you something that was brought to me at the Arise Retreat from one of our amazing listeners and Good Things Radio supporters, and that's Lisa Daly. So she came all the way from Colorado, had her workbook with her, and said, Brooke, I have to tell you about this Bible study. And so she really has a passion that really compelled me as soon as I got home from the retreat to look this up. And I had to order it right away because it's been a long time since I've done a really good, meaty Bible study. She says this is something we have to do together as a group. I started it just by myself and I already have 6 pages. But I wanted to ask you, Mom, as someone in a Bible study for over 20 years now, the same one, the benefits that you've seen, and we've talked about this on the show before, but just as we get into a new season, to rev up and motivate ourselves to do something like this.
The Bible study that I have been in the longest, a Sanctuary Cove Bible study, was preceded by the really the very strong urge when we moved to Wisconsin to get involved in a Bible study. And that Bible study was called the Muffin Club.
Yeah, I remember you talked about that and you had muffins.
Yes.
And somehow I've wanted to work that into my life and I just haven't yet.
But the beauty of that was the beauty of the ecumenical part. If that is where God is leading you. And it was a profound experience. I recognized some components that I had learned that I knew were supposed to be part of any community study. It is amazing the way God prepares us.
So what are some of those components? Can you just, in a kind of tip form, bullet point those?
Well, there were 5 of us that came together for the core group. And 3 of those 5 had extensive scripture study that made them, you know, quite knowledgeable. And the welcoming component of all of that was it didn't matter if you've ever studied scripture, but when you sit next to or with those that are very experienced, it can very easily just be a fallout to where you think you have misgivings, you know, about your own ability. What was reinforced, it says right in the beginning of your Catholic Bible, pray to the Holy Spirit. It leads you step by step. One of the priests that had been a retreat director from the monastery, he said, the Holy Spirit speaks to each of us. So we don't need to be afraid. We do need a tool, and the Holy Spirit is so happy when we say, how should we begin? This book that you're talking about was a way for you to re-enter.
Yeah, boy, was it. The first chapter, lesson 1, I took 6 pages of notes. So if you watched Facebook Live, you saw a little sampling of this. I opened up the journal that I have personally because when Lisa told me about this Bible study, I ordered it and I told Jim because he's the president of the ministry. And I said, can we order this and give it away on the program? Because we're getting close to our 100th episode. So trying to, you know, build some excitement and a big thank you. And so he ordered it and it's $40. And then it came and I was like, oh man, I don't want to with this. It's awesome. I mean, really, really everything that Lisa said. And I thought maybe that will be what I submit for Mother's Day. Maybe he could get one for Mother's Day. And Lisa said, you know what? I've got extra. We did it at our church. Let me do this.
So, oh, they did it in their parish?
Yeah, in Denver, in Colorado. So what an answer to prayer. And so I started it, and I just want to open up because I shared this again on Facebook Live. So good. If you heard the last episode, you heard also the conversation between Linda Isaiah and myself, particularly a point that I opened up more than I usually do, I guess, about what's happening internally, personally with me, and that constant pull of when do you use your gifts and just boldly step out like a rocket ship into the new evangelization, even at the cost of maybe you're needed at home or trying to find that balance.
Yes.
And when you just let it all go and say, right now for this season, everything's got to fall away and I'm just focusing on my family. And I wish that I would have seen, and what Linda's answer was for any of us, especially if you're a caregiver or you're in the midst of complicated grief or any challenging circumstance that we're in right now, you do need to go away and at least spend some time with the Lord, whatever way that looks like, so you can come back and minister to your family and be a good steward.
Yes.
So I appreciated that. And then also I read this like 2 days later and thought, man, right between the eyes, this is it. So here's what she says. And I'm just going to go through because, again, it's 6 pages, so I'm not going to read them all. But we look at Isaiah 43:4, because you are precious in my eyes and glorious, and because I love you, I give men in return for you and peoples in exchange for you. We also go into Zechariah 2:8. But she says, more often than not, we are motivated not by love of God, but love of self. how the better we know ourselves, the more we can become the person God wants us to be. So in order to do that, we have to get past our vices, get past the things that prevent us from seeing ourselves as God sees us, and turn those into virtues, work on the opposite virtue. So the first, she goes into three things that we often do in ways that we look out for ourselves. We don't even maybe realize it. And the first one, as she was speaking, I was feeling it was directed exactly towards me, not even really realizing.
Okay.
And the first is pride, looks for security in herself. Pride is the opposite of faith. I was thinking it was humility. This person may need to achieve accomplishments, may need something measurable to feel like, okay, I am worthwhile because I'm achieving, I'm accomplishing. Need for control, wanting to control the situation and the outcome. Independence, rationalization, can't look below the surface. Negativity and self-pity. So those are some characteristics of pride. Next is vanity, not necessarily being hair and makeup, but placing our security in other people instead of God. This woman does things to be affirmed and praised, has a great fear of rejection. And the last one is sensuality. Again, not sexuality necessarily, but places her security in things, materialism, focusing on feelings, emotions, focusing on pleasure, living to eat, living to shop, living to go on vacation. And so then I had the question, which best describes me? And for some of us, we may be all three different times of our life or our faith journey. And of course, we're complicated people. So it's not like it's one or the other. But for me, it was definitely pride. The opposite of that is faith. The opposite of vanity is love. And the opposite of sensuality is hope. And so some of the other things she talked about was eliminating distractions. And she said, let go of non-essentials, which gets in the way of what is most important. There's enough in the day to accomplish what God wants us to do in terms of time. And I love this description. She talks about how in the world did Jesus respond to constant human need? There was no way in the years he had that he could do everything and heal everybody. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said he had finished the work of the Father. How could that be with so many people unhealed? Well, the secret lies in his prayer and focus. Mark 1:35 says, rising very early before dawn, he rose and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. So she talks about to hold on, to pray, and to know that God gives us enough hours for what we need to accomplish if we are doing it well. If we begin that day rooted with him, and the reminder that the darkest hour of the night is just before the dawn. And that's like two pages. I still have four to go, but that's good, isn't it?
It's almost universal. I have seen and witnessed the one element that is constant for a plea and a prayer is the holy balance. I think she's addressing that.
Yep. And that she is Lisa Brennan-Kemeyer. I just realized I didn't identify, but she is the author of Walking with Purpose. Her website's Walking with Purpose. And last year at the retreat, one of our attendees, Brandy, provided every woman with her book, Walking with Purpose. So the fact that this would come around the next year, I feel like is providential, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
She, from that book, has an entire Bible study series.
Okay.
And the neat thing that I really loved was not only the lessons in the book, the workbook, but the videos. There aren't videos that go with every lesson, but this particular one, I sat down, had a cup of coffee, a quiet house, watched this 30-minute video, took 6 pages of notes, and had the best day of the week. And I wasn't able to do it the rest of the week, but it was okay because there was so much in that I could keep coming back to that.
Yes.
So we want to give this to you. Lisa Daly not only has a proposition and an invitation, but also, not only for the Bible study, a group to go with it. And she left some feedback. I want to share it with you now as she invites you to be a part of this. Take a listen.
Good morning, Brooke. I am so glad that you started that study. It's an amazing study. It is the first one. It is 22 weeks, so it is a long study. However, maybe that's the one we do. I would prefer in a small group setting that we do 1 hour a week, and then you do your lessons every day is how it works. And then in the small group, you just meet once a week. You don't talk about every question. There are just certain questions that we discuss. We're going to talk about the deeper questions that come, and you'll see that as you do the next lessons in the coming days. Not every lesson has a DVD, but each lesson is exactly what you said. It is jam-packed. I finished Opening Your Heart, and it changed my life because it's exactly what it says, opening your heart to having more personal relationship with God. And walking with purpose really is exactly what it says, walking with purpose. What is the purpose of my life? It's changed how I think about life and how I think about everything. And I think that's why I was at peace this year. I think Arise put me on that path last year to grow deeper in love with God. And walking with purpose just helped me walk that path. So as you go with the study, some days will take you 15 minutes, some days will take you longer. It just depends. But don't overdo it with the study when it says one, day one, you just do the one day. Don't try to do 2 or 3 days if you can help it. Sometimes we all get busy and we're like, oh, we got to catch up. And that's okay too. But let me know what you think. I really would like to do a small group. I'd really like to do a Google Hangout or a GoToMeeting. I'll take care of the GoToMeeting myself. I'll take care of all of that because I know how that works. But if we could meet as a small group once a week, and all I'm asking for is basically an hour and maybe 15 minutes, I can work the logistics out later. Let me know what your thoughts are because you're the master at all of this. But this is my experience. To do a small group, you need to meet together. So let me know. But I'd like to do the feedback for the show, obviously, on Voxer. So just let me know what you think. Thank you for that message. I'm glad that this study is speaking to your heart. All right. I hope to talk to you soon, Brooke. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lisa. Wow. Thank you for sharing the way that impacted your life, the study, the podcast, which I know, and I know you concur, Lisa, that it's beyond anything that we could have orchestrated, but truly a praise report because God called you forth, gave you the tools, and you were ready. And now through that, you've inspired others, and that's what it's about. It's a holy peer pressure. That's what we need more of. So thank you. And I love the idea of meeting online, starting that. So we're going to do this giveaway. If you want to win, be entered into the contest. All you need to do is go to feedback@goodthingsradio.com. I was considering a social media contest, expanding this because it's such a great prize, but let's just do what we've done. Keep it simple and feedback@goodthingsradio.com. All you need to do is email your name, where you're from, and that will be enough to enter you into the giveaway. And then in episode 97, so we're going to run this through this and the next episode. After that, we will announce the winner, episode 98. And if you want to learn more too, that Facebook video is still posted. If you like our page, Good Things Radio, and you can see that and a few of the notes and get more information. Also, I'm on Voxer. If you want to leave a message, it's Brooke Taylor and the number one. And Matt, you're on there too.
Yes.
Anytime.
One thing I could learn.
And you've learned it? Well, when it comes to talking, it's just a natural for us ladies.
It's Brooke's House. It's Brooke's House.
Okay, come on in. We're getting ready for a birthday, so the cake mix is out. The Hawaiian decorations are getting set up. My third child, my third son, Garrett, is going to be turning 11, and he shares a birthday with the feast day of St. Damien of Molokai. And St. Damien, living in Hawaii on the island of Molokai, where they had lepers and he went to minister, no one else would. And what's interesting is as a baby, Garrett had eczema really bad, a skin condition that was terrible. And we prayed to St. Damien and he has been healed. He's never had another bout of eczema. So we are marrying the 2 days, his birthday, because frankly, anytime you can do a Hawaiian theme, why would you not? And World Market has the best stuff. No, it's not. It's Oriental. Oriental Trading. That's okay. It. Oriental Trading. So we've got the Lays. We've got tiki torches that go on the table. Lord help with that because with as many kids and dogs in the house, who knows? But we're going to try it. We've got a pineapple chicken dinner. Are you coming over?
Yes.
And then also the cake. So with some hibiscus flowers on it. So we're going to do that. And speaking of tropical and all of the colors, we're doing a Mary Garden. So that's what I wanted to talk about. It is a first time tradition that we're trying. Were you familiar with this?
No.
Okay. Here, I want you to read this. So this is what I pulled about it, and it talks about where it came from.
In the Middle Ages, missionaries and travelers spread stories across Europe about flowers named after Mary in various times of her life. Mary gardens that featured these flowers became popular there, and later the tradition made its way to America. Around 1932, it is believed that the first Mary Garden in the United States was constructed on the grounds of St. Joseph's Church in the woods on Cape Cod.
And I went to look online, and it's just, I think like a lot of things, you don't realize there's a whole world out there and all these resources and these really extensive lists. And I pulled one that now has kind of coffee stains and lots of folds and writing on it. But these are just a few of the flowers if you want to read, Mom. And it was a little bit challenging for us because although the lists are long, what we ended up doing is moving Mary in the front yard. We have an outdoor Mary statue under a mulberry tree. We've got a lot of room because, frankly, we've never done our landscaping. We had to pull everything out when we moved in 2 years ago, so everything was dead. And then we got an estimate, and just like we laughed and wept at the same time from the nursery. Like, no, it was like $20,000. No, never. But so we're going to do it on our own, but it just hasn't happened. So, but the good thing is we had plenty of room. So I put her over by this tree, and not realizing the challenge of that in knowing most flower, well, I didn't know, most flowers, they need light or just partial shade. So that, not being someone that studies botany or floriculture, I don't know. Did you know? You knew. You're looking at me like you knew.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm just learning.
Just in a very casual way. Not that I have been great with gardens.
Why don't you read some of the symbolism? Because each flower has a reason of why it's being planted. Obviously, you don't have to plant all of these. There's no way you could. But in terms of honoring Our Lady and explaining in all of creation how it speaks to the majesty of God and her virtue, if you want to read a few of those.
I think I'll start with the rose. That flower symbolizes Mary as the Queen of Heaven. The red rose represents sorrow. The white rose shows joy. And the yellow rose stands for the honor bestowed upon Mary. And also in the flower shops, they will have a list of roses and what the colors mean. I know yellow also stands for the peace rose.
Okay.
So that goes hand in hand.
And she's sometimes called the mystical rose.
Yes.
But
oh, that picture is so beautiful.
You said it doesn't do well in shade. Roses need sun.
They do.
So we didn't do that.
Okay.
Next.
The violet is a symbol of modesty and simplicity, humble acceptance to the words from the angel Gabriel, "Let it be done unto me according to your word."
There's also, when I was at the nursery yesterday, a flower called the archangel. So I thought, oh, well, that could work too.
Yes.
But it needed sun.
Okay. The carnation. Legend says that the carnation bloomed on the night of Jesus' birth, a sign of Mary's joy at the child's birth. There's a snowdrop. The snowdrop is said to have bloomed in February when Mary took Jesus to the temple to present him to God. And one flower or bush that is not on here that you found yesterday is the story or the legend behind the azalea.
Yes, and you pointed out they bloom early.
Yes.
So they're blooming now. That's why I bought it. It does really well under shade.
Yes.
And it adds this huge punch of color, which is gorgeous.
True.
And it was on sale, so I knew something was up. And when I got it home, you're like, oh, well, it's not going to bloom for very much longer. But it looks beautiful, and it means it's the St. Joseph flower, the protector. So I thought, how perfect.
Yes.
And that's what's exciting about it. It's not just planting stuff or having it look good, but it's the symbolism behind it.
True.
And the marigolds. Do you have the marigolds on that list?
Marigold, yes. Early Christians placed marigolds around statues of Mary in place of coins, calling them Mary's gold.
Isn't that neat? Yes. And here's the thing, and we talk about this often because we have so many different Christians that listen. I don't mean different Christians. I mean Christians from... I didn't mean to say you're weird. We're all family. But I just mean that Christians from different traditions.
Yes.
And I think that to me, this is across the board something that makes sense because May is the month of mothers. If there was one mother that just thumbs up, did an awesome job and deserves a hug and a flower,
yes,
it should be Our Lady. What a beautiful thing. And again, we're not worshiping Mary, but as we give flowers to our moms, we're saying thank you, Our Lady, for carrying within your womb the God of the universe, the Savior of us all. It's just something I think that makes sense. It's a beautiful tradition.
Well, I'm just going to interject a thought that has just really bubbled up inside of me this week as we prepare for our Mary walk at church. And that is a lot of what I've taken from a book. It has four volumes. I'm still only in the first volume, but it is by Blessed, is it Margaret? I'm not sure. Agreda.
Oh, okay.
Agreed. It is...
I've never heard of her.
About the... well, it's a mystical book, but it talks about the preparation of God the Father and all of the concept. The whole idea of honoring her gives such joy to God the Father. And, of course, her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and, of course, her son. So you think, what can we do as mere mortals? But the fact of how she was placed in the plan of salvation gives honor and glory to the Father. So it is like, we can't do better than that.
Yeah. I'm giving two snaps to that. That was actually three or four.
Okay.
But you're right. It's true.
Hallelujah.
And you also just referenced the Mary Walk. Talk about that. That's coming up. You and I are planning. Honoring Our Lady of Fatima, the 100th anniversary of her appearance. Well, really, she appeared in 2016. She began, right?
1917.
I saw the wheels turn in your mind. Thank you for correcting me on that. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
good.
I don't know, because I was reading a book to Garrett the other night, and I can't get it straight, but we are presenting this on Friday. And it's something you started, a tradition to. May crownings are very old in the tradition as well, where you make a crown of flowers for Mary and you place it on her as the Queen of the May.
Right.
But also this Mary Walk, in which we walk around the area of our school, the property of the church, and we pray. We pray for the community. We pray for the students, the school, those that are in need.
Jensen.
Yes. Oh, and speaking of that, and I don't mean to backtrack here, but I wanted to mention, we talked about the Mary Garden and transitioned right into the Mary Walk, that the entire picture slideshow is on my blog. And I also have a newsletter that I'm going to be sending out that has all of the contest information about our Bible study, as well as the Mary Garden, how it works, what you can do to start your own, the list of flowers. So if you look in the show notes, there's a place you can sign up for the newsletter, but also on my website, brooktaylor.us, if you just click on the blog, you can see it there too. So I wanted to make sure to mention that.
Great.
Brooke's gonna make you cry. Brooke's gonna try to make you cry.
A weary mother returned from the store, lugging groceries through the kitchen door. Awaiting her arrival was her 8-year-old son, anxious to relate what his younger brother had done. While I was out playing and Dad was on call, TJ took his crayons and he wrote on the wall, "It's on the new wallpaper you just hung in the den." I told him you'd be mad at having to do it again. She let out a moan and furrowed her brow. "Where is your little brother right now?" She emptied her arms with a purposeful stride and marched to his closet where he had gone to hide. She called his full name as she entered his room. He trembled with fear. He knew that meant doom. For the next 10 minutes, she ranted and raved about the expense of wallpaper and how she had saved. Lamenting all the work it would take to repair, she condemned his actions and total lack of care. The more she scolded, the madder she got, then stomped from his room totally distraught. She headed for the den to confirm her fears. When she saw the wall, her eyes flooded with tears. The message she read pierced her soul with a dart. It said, "I love you, Mommy," surrounded by a heart. Well, the wallpaper remained just as she found it, with an empty picture frame hung to surround it, a reminder to her, and indeed to all, take time to read the handwriting on the wall.
Brooke just made you cry. Brooke just brought a tear to your eye.
I told you. It's going to make you cry. It's not to say that kids should never be disciplined for destroying something, but I do think it's a reminder. And it brought back the memory of when I was on the morning show. I was working in Cleveland, co-hosting, but there was an instance in which we had just bought this new Pottery Barn bunk bed, and one of the boys had scraped into the wood a stick person. And there's nothing you can do about that. And I was furious. And we talked about it on the air. What is the best course of action? It's done now. There's nothing I can do to remove it. And what lesson do I impart that's not going to be too strict, but that's also going to kind of put the fear in God in them like that a little bit. And I remember that we received a phone call, and it was more than one, from a parent who had lost a child. And how that, I think it was in this case, something that they had done in the closet, had written, was there and something they would go back to.
Okay.
That reminder of now walking, you know, with a good friend who lost a daughter and them finding things.
Yes.
It completely turns it upside down. And as parents, as moms, every day on a daily basis, we do our best to have both the strict letter of the law. We want to make sure that they are being raised so that either a judge or isn't disciplining them, that they know what they're supposed to do. They look people in the eye, they shake hands, they have good manners, they get good grades. But then the affectionate side, the warm side. And sometimes it's hard because we're tired, we're impatient, we feel like it's not sinking in all the time. About 2 years ago, as we were moving into our house, I was feeling that way. I was yelling at the kids a lot. We were moving, boxes were going into the new house, things were getting lost. I mean, it was a mess. And I had a lot of speaking engagements also around May, a lot of Mother's Day luncheons and things. And my son, Garrett, whose birthday is coming up, he gave this to me. And in my mind, I was thinking, I am disorganized, yelling way too much, shouting all the time. I'm not on top of things like how often they're on their video game devices. And then I get this from Garrett. It's a flower that he had made. It was a homemade where in the center it says, "You are." And then the petals have different qualities. It says funny, beautiful, caring, unselfish, smart, and hardworking. And I've kept it. It's right here in my office. I have it hanging up because that's not how I would have described myself as a mom, always being hard and looking at the ways that I need to do better. But kids don't look at us that way. I mean, you see that with parents who time and time again might let their kids down in a real major way.
Yes.
But that love and that unconditional devotion is always there. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing that we can do as moms is to just place ourselves in the loving arms of our Father and be gentle with the times that we know we aren't perfect. And I'm wondering for you as a mom in this stage of life, how Mother's Day has changed, how your perspective has changed over the years. Do you look at Mother's Day differently than you did 20, 30 years ago?
Well, I don't think any of us are ever the same from year to year. God is always giving us opportunities to grow and to understand different aspects of life and holiness. My appreciation grows. That's what I can attest to. I think the more that you reflect on either your upbringing or specific lessons that your mom tried to teach, and for my sisters who have all gone on to their reward, in the ways that their families carry on the loving examples that they gave. So I'm just mighty grateful. And that includes for Mama Mary in the way that we go deeper into her own experience. And it's never we can dismiss it because she was so holy. That's not accurate. She was more sensitive. Her virtue and her sinlessness gave her more sensitivity. Mm. And so what we experience, she did, and still was willing to take on that beautiful privilege as Jesus gave it to her on the cross, to accept all of us.
Last year, we had Grandma's Love Letter to Moms, Modern Moms.
Okay.
You shared on the podcast a year ago in our Mother's Day episode about your mom, my grandma, getting married in the 1920s, living through the Great Depression, you being the youngest of 10 living children, and the hard times, but also the beautiful faith and the heirloom that is, the priceless heirloom. Your love letter to modern moms, what would you say to moms as they reflect on Mother's Day this year?
I would just offer something that has given me much peace, because I think it goes hand in hand with the grave and beautiful responsibility of motherhood. Is we know that we will be held accountable for the way that we used God's grace in teaching them. God does not expect perfection, but He reminds us over and over again of what we are to do and what we are to impart in a way, for each child is different. But as those little children grow, mature, get married, have their own children, you can't help but look back on, and at times you are so grateful that it's like, oh, thank you, Lord, something that I did or implemented really has borne fruit. And there are other areas, and you thought, if I had only done this sooner or differently. But then what the Holy Spirit has shown me is I don't dwell on that. I immediately turn it into a prayer and say, Dear God the Father, you are the Father of all timelessness. Fill in the gaps with your holy cement of love that my child, I see a gap. You can now fill it in a way that is present to them. And so it completely relinquishes my ineptness, my mistakes, because we all have made them. But it's about God taking over and us having the peace.
Amen. Yes, he can. And thank you for your honesty. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you too.
As we wrap up the show, we can't sign off. We have a giveaway before we do our prize poll here in our winner for the Mass Journal. So we're randomly going to pull a name. Oh, drum roll. And it is, the journal goes to Addie Miller in Tequesta, Florida. Addie, congratulations. Thank you. Oh my goodness, that's exciting. So we'll send it out to you. And again, if you have not entered the contest for the Bible study, do that now. And it's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. We're going to keep it coming. You're looking at me funny.
Well, Tequesta, I know, is the oldest tribe of Native Americans in Florida.
Wow. Well, thank you for that random fact.
Yes.
Somebody could be listening and be on Jeopardy, and that's it. They win.
If my memory serves me correctly.
Okay. Addie's right. Very impressed right now.
Okay.
I bet. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being a part of Good Things Radio. If you believe in the program, we humbly ask you consider supporting the ministry. Become a patron. You can pledge $1 a month, $50 a month. There's no amount too small, no amount too large. Sincerely, we actually had to redo the recording software. We're here, the program that I normally record. Even in a small setup, startup, there are always expenses, always hopes to expand into the new evangelization. And you help us do that. So we thank you. And so to become a patron, just log on to podbean.com/goodthingsradio. Know that our family prays for every single patron, every single good friend of the program. And you can also, if you look in the show notes, click on become a patron, sign up for the newsletter, all of that. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, and his dynamic skills and quick work. Please keep Mark and his family in your prayers. He does amazing things for this program, for so many others, and they could use prayers as they walk through. Just a transition, talking about a new chapter of life, aging parents. And so we just ask to lift up Mark as well. To connect with him, go to cominghomestudio.com. Any parting words as we wrap up, Mom?
Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us.
Happy Mother's Day. God bless you.